Welcome to the Female Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast. This podcast is actually a spinoff of a Facebook group. My name is Sharon McLaughlin. I created that Facebook group for female physicians so that they would have a place to come and learn about business, to network, and to grow. And we've done just that. So if you're interested, take a look at our show notes for our website, as well as a direct link to the Facebook group. This podcast is going to be about everything business. So let's listen along as we hear about tips to help grow our business. Before we get started, let me tell you about a digital marketing platform I've been using. It is where I host my website. So it has a website capability with very fast loading speed. It has a funnel builder. It has an e-commerce where I can sell my products. It has WordPress hosting, a chat builder where I can talk to customers. Has a webinar platform, has an e-learning where I can create my courses. It has an app builder if you wanted to do a mobile app. It has a directory builder, has a booking app where people can book appointments with me, has an autoresponder where I can send out emails. It also has professional email creation, such as Sharon at Sharon Mac Wellness. It has social proof pop-ups where people buy. It pops up on your website or landing pages. Has the ability to do text messaging and Telegram funnels, CRM so you can keep track of your customers as they're on your website, a script generator, a magazine builder, a mock-up studio, 3D photo ability, video builder, a floating video, a video wrapper, video tags, video funnel builder, video hosting, and design resources so you could really bring your website to life. It also has a marketplace where you can sell your products to different people on the platform, as well as a web agency. So if you wanted to create a website agency, you can certainly do that. And they also have SEO reporting. You can try all of these tools for $1 for 30 days. I'll put the link down below. Let's get on with our program for today.
Hello, female physician entrepreneurs. I am so excited to be here today. Thanks to Dr. Sharon McLaughlin for asking me to talk about something I love to do, which is write. I get so much inspiration from this group, so it's amazing to be able to share my experience. What we'll talk about today is how writing can not just be a wellness activity for physicians, but really a way to elevate your business. And I'll share a little bit about how my book got started, how writing a book, particularly a memoir, helps entrepreneurs, and some tips I use with coaching clients, because you're going to want to get that book out of your head and onto the page. And it's difficult when you're a busy clinician. So I'm not the best with following comments while I'm also talking, so please feel free. I apologize if I ignore you. Just put it in the comment section, and I will circle back and answer all your questions. And in fact, I'd really like to know what else you need to know to get started, because I'd be happy to make up some additional tip sheets or resources for people in this group. I see Sharon checking in. Hi. So, I was doing some writing, again, mainly as a wellness activity, and I got up my nerve to participate in a ladies' night open mic. I got up and I told what I felt was a pretty embarrassing story about my parenting, which I think is a pretty putting yourself out there, because I'm a child and adolescent psychiatrist. I practice in central Pennsylvania. And you know, I think like a lot of us, we're super busy, we're involved in a lot of different things, but we still want to show up and volunteer for our kids' activities. So even though I had worked, I don't know, at least 60 hours plus overnights, you know, I show up, cupcakes, all ready to sell raffle tickets at my daughter's, the opening night for the play. My daughter was in charge of all the props. It was a really big deal. So I show up an hour early, very proud of myself, because, you know, we're often late because something comes up when you're trying to get out of the office. And the assistant director comes up to me and she says, where's Hannah? Is everything okay? And I was like, oh my God, I forgot my daughter at Barnes & Noble. So I had dropped her off there to do some work because it's hard to get all your homework done during tech week if any of your kids are involved in that. And I just forgot to go back for her. And she didn't have her cell phone with her at the time. She was 15, so it's not like she was a toddler or anything, but still, I just could never imagine doing that as a parent. So I wasn't sure how that story would be received, really. I told it, and afterwards, women were coming up to me, like very excited to tell me all about their stories, like, I locked my kid in my house, my toddler, for like 2 hours by herself. And they were just so relieved that they didn't have to be perfect and they could share that story with someone. So I really started to think about how your words can affect other people and how I can teach sort of outside of being a physician, because anytime I try to throw research at people, like they're really not that interested. But when I do a big time parenting fail, you know, particularly when I had forgotten my daughter, a lot of my patients' parents were there and they sort of saw what I had done. And it's like, oh, I can't believe we paid this lady for advice. So it was so redeeming. Like I just felt so relieved about something that I had carried. And a woman at the program, after me, read a story that she wrote. She doesn't work in mental health or anything, just a, you know, regular mom, for lack of a better word. But she wrote a story about a letter she had written to her postpartum depression. And it was so touching and raw. And gosh, it was the bravest thing I saw anyone do in a long time. And I really thought about what it would be like for me as a psychiatrist to share about my own mental health. So my mindfulness book, instead of being this big 12-step program about how to deal with anxiety, became a book about my anxiety. I am going to show it to you because it's beautiful, by the way. This is Own Your Present, A Psychiatrist's Guide to Mindful Meditation and Leading a More Conscious Lifestyle. So my book has changed. My life has changed a lot since this book came out. And that's what we'll talk about as far as how a book can, particularly a memoir, can be good as an entrepreneur. Writing a memoir is different than keeping a journal, obviously, because when you're writing a book, you're writing to find things that are of interest to other people and how to present it to them. And that's really key when you're trying to market your business as well. So it gives you some clarity around those things. Also, you're actually creating something from your own personal experience. And, you know, a lot of the stories that go into memoirs show some vulnerability, and that's really a way to connect with other people and potential clients. So the book sort of becomes like my extended calling card. And it's so rewarding when people read your book and are like, oh, I feel like I know you, or it was just like sitting with you and having some coffee. Another thing I think that a lot of female entrepreneurs deal with is perfectionism. We don't self-identify as perfectionists, but perfectionism can make people detail-oriented, but it can also be pretty crippling. It can keep you from getting started and following through on tasks, particularly something that's as large as a book. So it's really important just to get that draft down, and it's not going to be perfect. And there's a therapeutic value to that, at least I found. Having a mindfulness book, for example, has given me additional credibility as an expert in mindfulness, even though I don't really view myself as a guru, or I think we all get the sense we have to have like a million extra degrees or certificates to be an expert in something. And really, your experience is just so valuable. A book itself is really the ultimate when it comes to branded content. And for example, there are different types of memoirs. Some are just straight tell a story. I think many physicians tell more of a teaching memoir, like some takeaways that you want key people to learn. My book is actually closer to prescriptive nonfiction, which is also known as self-help, because I do have exercises or activities for people at the end of each chapter. So once you write a book, obviously it's a time investment, but you can very easily translate that into a coaching program. Or maybe you have a coaching program and you would like that to become, you know, a book Those are great goals. Also, I'm in the process now. For those of you who have had written a book, the marketing side is actually, I find to be the harder part. And I sort of underestimated the amount of time it would take me to keep up with social media and those types of things. So the book itself can be easily broken down into at least a year's worth of different social media posts once it's done. So something to think about. Oh, I see Kylie Ray checked in. Value in experience, taking this to heart. Yeah, writing a book is certainly an emotional process, and I'll talk a little bit more about that when I switch into some of the things and tips I recommend as a coach. Also, networking. I've met a lot of people in the wellness space. I got to have an Instagram Live with, Waylon Lewis from the Elephant Journal. I mean, they have like, 9 million subscribers or something. That wouldn't happen without my book. And I've actually been able to network with other women in this group differently. I think maybe I'm more confident, or by putting that out there, people read it and get back to you. Of course, there's speaking engagements, podcast appearances, which when I first started doing podcasts, I got very nervous and wanted sort of questions ahead of time. And it's so fun now just to be able to go and, speak in the moment. So as far as increasing your confidence in marketing yourself, can really come along with that too. So that's all the benefits I could think of. I'm sure that there are more, but I'd like to just go ahead and move into some tips, because I'm trying to keep this around 15, 20 minutes. So I wouldn't do writing a book the way I did, in the sense that I didn't spend a lot of time on my outline ahead of time. I'm like, I'm just going to write. And then at some point I realized I had to do some pretty heroic efforts to change things around. But that was my process. It wasn't the most efficient. But when I'm working with other people, we talk a lot about the type of memoir, like I said, that you want to write. I think most physicians are really drawn to more of a teaching memoir, what your why is, having a sense of timeline. The main reason to have an outline too is when you do sit down to write, when we're talking that ass in the chair time, right? You don't want to be staring at a blank page. You want to have a clear, this is what I'm working on now. This is my next story. In addition to scheduling time for the writing itself, it's very important to look at what you would need to do lifestyle and practice-wise to really foster creativity. You know, if you say, I'm going to schedule to write from like 11 o'clock to midnight on like Mondays, like that's not my most productive time. Now, I know in the physician writers group, there are some women who write very late at night or in the middle of the night. And if that works for them, that's fine. But it's the same thing when you schedule to get up at like 5:30 in the morning to exercise and then you don't do it. It can become a frustrating process and you don't feel successful at it. Plus, the work that we do and life right now in general with politics and social injustice, everything is a big creativity suck in my mind. So really, I work with people to incorporate mindfulness and some other efficiency tools, not so much so that you can do more work. I mean, that's although I tend to do that when I make more time for myself, but using those tools to help get things out of your head. I did not realize how much I carry around. And really putting some time and effort into Google Calendar or Trello, things that can help you get ideas so that you're not constantly worrying about forgetting something or when you're going to do something or, losing track of ideas. When you do get to the point where you're writing a first draft, I feel one of the most important things is to just write it through. Don't edit. Don't start showing it to people. Like, I love friends and family, but they are not necessarily like the best people to give you feedback on your manuscript and on your work. It's all too close. Of course, most of my family did not even read my book at this point, but I wish they would read it now. But because writing a book can sort of be a little bit of a head game in the sense that you're going to like, at least I did second guess myself quite a bit along the way. And if people start giving you critical feedback or, you know, or you get to the process where you start editing too soon, you're just not going to get it out. And particularly if you're on a tight timeline, you know, it's going to get in your head. The other thing, in addition to writing, it's very important to schedule some time to reflect. And I'm not just saying that as a psychiatrist. Of course, if you're going to do something emotional process, wouldn't it be great to have a psychiatrist as a coach for your memoir? But, you know, I wrote about stuff that from my childhood, you know, I have trauma-related OCD, and I thought that I was pretty much over it and beyond it. But writing about it, like, brings it up in a different way. So I actually, when my book was finished, I decided to go back into therapy, and I did some trauma therapy, EMDR, because I felt if I'm going to put myself out there and be talking about this, I want to make sure I'm at the healthiest place that I can be with it. Plus, you know, writing a significant amount, most of my book, I wrote at least the first draft in about 10 weeks. And I was tired. Like, I was working two jobs writing. I had to treat writing like a job a little bit to like get to where I wanted to be, because I wanted to get my money's worth out of the class I was taking. And anyway, I do think you need that time. And let's see, the last thing I want to say, and then I'll finish up, is this: writing a book is a really exciting way to lead. And I did recently, you know, do a lot of speaking about imposter syndrome and those types of things. It sets in when you have a book, even when your book is out. It's difficult for me some days to feel like a writer. So thinking of yourself as a writer as you're doing it, so many women will be like, you know, I'm not writing much. I'm not a writer because they haven't published something. And you've all written at least two or three successful personal statements because you got into medical school, got through residency, right? So you can write. It's not a question. If you write, you're a writer. And that, I think, is where I'll leave you. I will make sure that I put like my link tree in the comments just in case you want to find the best ways to contact me. You can certainly DM me or leave some additional questions in the comments. Again, if I do have enough questions to come up with a tip sheet for this group, I will certainly do that because I've taken a ton of free advice from all of you. All right. I think that's it for me. I hope you got some time to have some lunch today, or at least drink some tea, or refill your water bottle. Okay. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Female Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast. If you like us, please give us a nice review and tell your family and friends about us. We'll see you on another episode.